Like, I get it.
Gordon Hayward's just tough. They just beat Tottenham last week.
Oh, wait, you just said it. He said it. Where is it? I want everyone to know. I literally texted the group chat yesterday when this game happened. I said, and I put it in quotations, oh, going to Ipswich away is tough. It's a tough game. Sorry. And I said, sorry, just like helping Julian with his pod notes. And I was right. You said that, which is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
We here.
Yes, sir. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the 6 Yard Box podcast coming at you live for episode 71 of the show. I didn't like your energy there.
Me neither.
Why?
No, you can sense it.
Because you guys are pissing me off, bro.
You can sense it.
We are!
Thank you. Thank you. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the show. This is the 6 Yard Box podcast.
We're not
joking. I'm kidding.
Back for episode 71, where Manchester City are in crisis. The Champions League is finally back after the international break, and Ruben Amorim has started his era at Manchester United, which
Era's tour has ended in Toronto.
Way, thank the fucking Lord.
Nah, low key, she's done a lot for the city, like money wise.
Yeah,
you can't deny it.
You know what? Her economic impact on the city has been quite.
Lads, like everyone came to see her.
Yeah, Carson went on a 6-day bender for her.
Yeah, good for him. Anyway, this isn't the. Go ahead.
Putting him on blast live is wild. Welcome everybody to the show. It's another episode 71. It's come quite quickly. I'm here joined by Antoine, Blake, Miles messing with his Hi. Buttons.
Hello.
yeah, boys. We are back. It is the start of a bunch of new things in the Premier League. We have a bunch of shit to get into. I think there's one topic where we really need to start because we've had quite a bit of an argument today, Blake. We've kind of had a bit of a back and forth.
When do we not?
This whole weekend. And obviously it has to do with Man United. All right. We can jump right into it.
Sure.
If you guys want
to. Yeah. I'm just the only one who's real say it as it is, I think. I think that's what it is. I'm the only realist in this.
Okay, so we're all overreacting now. That's what we're doing.
No.
It's okay. No.
We want to talk about reactionary because this is my response to everyone who ever has anything bad to say about me ever, including you guys, including comments, including whatever.
The comments.
Should I go into it? This isn't directly about United, though.
Hey, go on.
Make football reactionary again. No, I'm serious because now it's like if you react to anything after a game, like everyone just slates you for it. Like you're just not allowed to. But what is football? What is any sport? They are reactionary. When someone scores a goal, you react. When someone misses a goal, you react. When your team gets scored on, you react. So the whole like object or entity that is reactions now are like, I feel like they're just so frowned upon. Like, you can't overreact or else you're a lunatic. But then, like, why can't I? Because I watch this team as much as everyone else who's watching me react to this team. Why can't I react in a way that I believe is right? Make football reactionary again.
You can't keep overreacting if you're wrong.
When am I
usually
wrong?
When you overreact, you're wrong.
Well,
and that doesn't go for you. That goes for most people that overreact to everything. I know we're in this like attention economy where everybody needs to be polarizing and say their loudest and most controversial opinions from the rooftop. But like, mate, sometimes you just got to sit back and you go like, you know what? This weekend didn't go our way. Let's not blow the whole thing up because of it. It's that simple
okay,
sometimes.
Go then.
It's that simple. Go. Okay, we're going to jump straight into it. Manchester United started the Ruben Amorim era this weekend with a 1-1 draw over at Ipswich.
Hey. Nothing points to us losing. I guess you didn't lose, but
yeah, we didn't. We could have. If it wasn't for Andre Onana, who, hey, if you want to talk about your reactionary,
he's playing well. He's been one of your best players. He's probably been your best player this season.
Yeah, one of, if not the best keeper in the Prem this season.
Okay, best keeper in the Prem.
It's literally
playing 10th is a little crazy, but
it's between him and Raya.
For what?
Best keeper in the Prem this season.
Throw Jason Steele in there. No, I'm kidding.
Go away, man.
No, come on. Ederson? Actually, no. Not this season.
Allison's injured. That's
Queven,
why I say
anyone?
That too.
Any Queven shots? Any
Queven shots? Can I just say, Fabianski had a great fucking game today.
My boy.
I'm taking him over Onana. Are we doing it?
I love this. Anyway, yeah.
No, fucking hates
see,
it.
This time last year, you were taking fucking 20 guys over him.
No, we're still taking a couple.
Still a lot, but yeah. No. He's good. And obviously, he saved. You had that big save.
Couple big saves.
A couple big saves in that game.
Yeah.
Which, every time he made a save, I just... got so angry because Miles somehow has Onana in his team, and I just expecting him to get. I look at the game FPL now, like it's brutal. Anyway,
okay, so let's actually talk about United, the big picture, this performance, what you saw, and what we can expect from United in the future. First, let's talk about what our expectations were, because based off your reaction to me today, I would have thought your expectations were like fucking massive. I'm like, whoa, where did he think this team was going to be?
You're actually delusional, Julian.
All right, no, tell me how.
Because it's like you're drawing against a fucking promoted team this season, and you're like, it's all right, good result. Like, it's okay. I'm happy with it. Like, I get it.
Going in was just tough. They just beat Tottenham last week.
Oh, wait, you just said it. He said it. Where is it? I want everyone to know. I literally texted the group chat yesterday when this game happened. I said, and I put it in quotations, oh, going to Ipswich away is tough. It's a tough game. Sorry. And I said, sorry, just like helping Julian with his pod notes. And I was right. You said that, which is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, I have it open right in front of
me. So then admit to me you're a relegation team then. Because that's what you're admitting to me.
There's one, maybe two games out of 38 that every Prem team will play that's easy. That's against Southampton. The rest of them are like, they're tough outs at least. And it's not like we could have had harder games. Absolutely. Against better sides, yeah, we probably lose that game. I'm not here to rave about our performance against Ipswich, bro. They were the better team. You can argue that they deserve the win. I'm not here to fucking argue that with you. I'm here to argue with you that this isn't some massive red flag that the Amorim project is doomed to fail. What? That's my big point in all this. And
I know what you're going to say.
When
did I ever say that?
What are your thoughts about Amorim and the way United looked?
The Amorim system, I really have no thoughts on it because it's been one game. Like, I can't...
Thank you.
I can't, you know, deny... I think someone on the call, like the British call, I don't know who did it, but was saying that they're questioning the formation, which is ridiculous. Like, what are you doing?
I know.
Mm-hmm. And then, again, Goldbridge, my boy, made a point. It's like, if you appointed a manager who's played a 3-4-2-1, 3-4-3, whatever, his whole freaking coaching career... And you're questioning the formation he plays. Why did you bring him in? Like that's the act of questioning his formation is ridiculous. That's all he's done his whole career. Why are we questioning it? That makes no sense.
Exactly.
But I mean, you saw moments there.
Moments, yeah.
You saw moments there where it looked like coherent, and you could see kind of the overall outcome. But a lot of performances just weren't great. Rashford up top was
diabolical.
It worked for the first 2 minutes, and then it was bad for the rest.
Was terrible, bro. Right.
I just mean he scored.
I know. Yeah. Bro, in this day and age, you see one goal on the Foot Mob rating, and you're like, no, oh, I had a good game.
No, but exactly. Like, I know. He had one goal, and the rest of it was terrible.
I know.
What about you? What did you think?
Yeah, there were definitely moments, like, in build-up. I thought, especially in the second half, we kind of settled down, especially when Ugarte came on for the dead legs of Casemiro. Mm. Like, it worked a lot better. I think in the second half, we had... Our possession was much, much, much better. But the problem was the problem that we've had a lot in the Prem this season, and that's... like kind of the final third play, getting that like final killer ball through and kind of just the end product, you know? None of that was there. I think the only thing you could say to hate on Amorim, if you want to, I don't really agree with it, was the 11 was a little bit naive. Starting Casemiro and Eriksen with nobody really playing around them is a little bit odd. But I understand why he did it. It's because he had two training sessions
with the players that were there.
And with the players that were actually fucking there. Meany was coming back from injury. Ugarte literally arrived from Uruguay just a couple of days ago. So I understand it, right?
Yeah.
And then the center back pairings, like, what I would have liked to see Oro start, per chance. But
is he back?
Yeah, he's back.
Good for him.
He was in training.
And I also liked Amorim's interview after.
That was a thing.
I liked
too.
His interview a lot because it just, I don't know, it was just a nice, refreshing takeaway that wasn't, you know, Ten Hag going like, era's come to an end. Huh? Like, yeah, like it was just nice. It was coherent. It was good. And what he said made sense, made a lot of sense to what actually happened in the game.
What did he say?
He was talking about how they were like thinking a lot too much on the pitch.
Yeah.
Like they weren't just playing. Yep. There was like stuff about him talking about, you know, there's at this level, there's like things you shouldn't have to coach.
Right.
That they were doing either way, like silly things that you shouldn't have to coach them not to do. Okay. Right. That kind of thing.
It needs to be like instincts.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So the thing with United, like big picture is like there's two ways to approach it, right? If we go back, if we go all the way back to when Ollie started with United, right? You need a PhD to even explain his tactical system. But he basically came in against Cardiff. Lads, just go out there, have fun. No sense of tactics or anything.
I miss Ollie Ball.
PE teacher ball.
It's fun.
And they went out, bro. We had Pogba balling, Martial balling, all that. And it fucking worked. We won our first 7 games in a row. Like, it was, oh, peak life. But that shit didn't work. Yeah. That shit didn't work long term. And a year after that, actually 3 months after that, the wheels already started falling off. And from there, it was this uncomfortable ride till he inevitably got sacked. With Ten Hag, his first 2 games in the Prem, he lost, right? And then after the 4-0 at Brentford, what a day that was. That was days before I met you.
Was it?
Thank God I didn't know you then.
Was it actually?
It was. I remember I was back home right before I was going to Toronto when it happened.
The De Gea goal will always be one of my favorites. Like the one he let in like right out. Right.
Oh, man.
Oh, I wish I knew you. That'd be so fun.
But then after that moment, Ten Hag went back. Like he stopped trying to go to replicate the Ajax ball, and he kind of reverted back to like the counter-attacking, you know, low block style that the United players did. And from that point on, he did well in his first season. Same thing with Ollie, though. That's not the same system that can actually work and make things right.
There's no longevity.
So a year later, he was still using those tactics, but it didn't work anymore because the players down tools, and that's just how you do it. Amorim said after the game, you're mentioning about his quote, this is my favorite one. He said, we could try to just win games and don't risk anything, but I guarantee that at this stage next season, we will have the same problems. So it's growing pains, right? Klopp didn't win. Klopp had a rocky start at Liverpool because he held firm on to his identity and his tactics and all that. And eventually the players, they either fucking got it or they got out.
Yeah.
Basically. And this is why I'm happy with, this is like the, this is the one good thing about United's bad performance is that, okay, he sees that it doesn't work. Hopefully he sees that certain players won't work in the system. So then it just speeds up the process of us actually landing on the lineup, the system that will bring us long-term results. Right?
Yeah.
If this fucking lineup works, he's like, oh, Johnny Evans in defense. I should keep with this. Casemiro and Eriksen, well, we won today, so that works. But that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Right? Now Ugarte is almost guaranteed to start the next game, and he'll land on the right lineup, and we'll get there quicker. And the players in that lineup, a lot of players in that lineup, won't be here in the summer because Amorim will know quickly that it doesn't work. And most importantly, the board above that knows it better too.
And that's something that Ten Hag was not doing.
And that is something, like Ten Hag didn't stick to his principles is kind of the point that I'm saying.
He reverted back to what was...
He prioritized getting points in the moment, which I understand, but he didn't approach it like it was a project.
Yeah.
I like the big picture that you're talking about.
That's what I'm saying,
however,
bro.
I also see where he's coming from. At some point, there has to be a sense of urgency within that squad.
Of course.
Yeah.
No matter who it is, you're Manchester United playing against Ipswich, we're 17th, first year back in the Premier League. Haven't won a home game in the Premier League yet, I don't think so.
Don't think so.
They've won one game.
Didn't
games.
Have a win until the week before.
Yeah. Yeah, they've had one win so far in the entire league. You're Manchester United at some point. There has to be some sort of urgency.
I know.
That's why.
But this is the thing. We're not like this is such a harsh reality, right? But we're not a win now team. We're not a win now team. Sure, we're not far off top four, but let's be realistic. We're not going to get top four this season. Maybe we make a good run in the Europa League. I don't know.
That's not looking too good for you either, though.
But literally, my main hope for this season is to just get the system and the tactics and the fucking vision down, because that's what we were fucking missing.
Sure.
How can you even set goals for top four or five in the Premier League if you don't have something as basic as that? That's my fucking point.
Okay.
So when I look at a big picture, that's what I'm looking at, right?
Okay.
Amorim sticking to his style is such a green flag for me. I fucking love that.
But and Ten Hag was doing the same thing at the beginning.
In his first two games.
Yeah, that's why. But that, what do you mean?
He did it against Brighton in his first Premier League loss. Yeah. And then he did it in his second Premier League loss, 4-0 away
at
Brentford.
He didn't revert right away.
And then he reverted right away.
No, he did not.
Because the next game was again. Yes, it was.
No, because a year later you went on and you had a great purple patch. And it wasn't just because...
We're talking about like the January, February period?
Of the next year after that.
No. Like 2023. Are you talking about like first year United, like 22, 23 United?
His second year.
So last season.
Yeah.
Purple patch, when?
Beginning of the season.
Did we?
Yeah.
Did we go on a purple patch?
There was a point. It might not have been last season, but there was a point in Ten Hag's era where
You're talking about the first season when Rashford was like the best player in the world. We beat Barcelona. We won the League Cup against Newcastle. Yeah, you're talking about that. Mm-hmm. Like, I honestly, like looking back, hindsight, like the tactics, I really liked it. Like the players were clicking. Mm-hmm. That's when Casemiro was at his best next to Eriksen, who actually worked. Their legs hadn't gone yet. And most importantly, that's when Rashford was just
hitting. It's almost like it's a player's thing.
That's when Rashford was just hitting everything.
But the whole point.
It was player dependent. It was system dependent. If Rashford hadn't been on the form of the best player in the world, we would have lost on so many points.
Fair enough.
And when he did inevitably fall off, we did lose points. So,
but the whole point I'm trying to get to is it's impossible to judge this early whether or not that manager is going to be good or not, because no matter what, obviously he's going to stick to his principles in his first game.
I'm saying, like, at that time, Ten Hag in the media was saying stuff like, oh, I can't play the Ajax system right away. I have to mold my tactics to the strengths of the players. Like, that's the kind of stuff he was coming out with.
Yeah.
Amorim, on the other hand, is going like, no, I'm sticking to my way, and they have to mold to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's how it should be.
That is how it should be.
Yeah.
And it's actually fucking perplexing how we haven't had a manager since maybe Mourinho, who has stuck to that principle.
Well, the fact that Ten Hag was saying that right away just shows it should have been red flags very early on.
It was red flags from early on. And we didn't see it because it fucking got results. But it's kind of like a Band-Aid on an open wound, right? Sure. How much is it going to help?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, no. Amorim had two training sessions. I think there actually like was legit a difference in the way we played. Not saying we played well, but the way we played, the approach that we came with was better. I brought this stat up before, and you guys kind of laughed at me, but Bruno had like 90 to 95% pass accuracy. And I'm not saying Bruno played well.
It's because he didn't hit me. Because Amorim probably said, don't hit the home run ball. And he said, okay, I don't want to piss off my manager in the first game. So he didn't hit the home run ball as much. And I just cracked the code on why he was 95% pass accuracy.
So we'll see if that sticks. What? That's such a fucking good indicator that.
What I do like about this system that Amorim is playing so far is that Bruno is not asked to be defending as much as he was under Ten Hag. I remember there was times where I was watching United and I just see Bruno at left back doing defensive work.
Yeah.
Now he's really stuck to that 10 role, and I think it'll be way more useful and way more resourceful for a United attack that needs some creative player like Bruno Fernandes to be fully like energetic at his role.
Also, something else we've learned in the past week, Amorim loves Mason Mount. Sent an interview like, oh my, like he said, Mason Mount, I love this kid. Like, and I thought of, I'm like, yikes, this could go really badly. But Mason Mount in his best days was playing like this exact system on your Tuchel.
Right.
It was literally like playing in that right side pocket as kind of like a 10, like a half winger kind of role. And he fucking cooked at
that. And he was balling.
And he was balling.
Won a League of Champions.
Won the Champions
he
League.
He won the League of Champions for sure. People are quick to forget how good some of the players in your squad once were.
Yeah, of course.
I wouldn't even be surprised, dare I say it, that Antony comes back and makes it. It's a stretch.
Wow.
It's a stretch. But I wasn't surprised.
He also doesn't.
Because he was on top of.
The thing is with Antony,
doesn't fit the system, yeah.
He does not fit
like, you're gonna play him right wing back, full back?
No, he wouldn't. Antony won't do that.
No, I know, but that's what I'm saying.
Well,
no.
Did you try Ahmad? He doesn't fit. There this week, right? Was it Ahmad?
We tried Ahmad there, and then we brought removed Garnacho there eventually. I don't think it really worked. Garnacho was also playing as a 10 at one point. I don't think that worked either. So it makes me worry a little bit about Garnacho, but
I just feel there's quality in that squad, and there's always been quality in that squad that hasn't been utilized to their full potential. I wouldn't be surprised if some of the players that we've been shitting on the last couple of years come back up and suddenly are doing pretty
Mazzarri
good.
Mazzarri at center back was an interesting call. Yeah.
But Amorim backed it up. Amorim later said in a press conference that he was very happy with what he did.
But I feel like we do this a lot on this podcast. We need to shout out Ipswich. Like, we forgot about them. They had a great performance.
Of course.
Like, no, not like...
Okay.
No, but in general,
like, we don't do this enough.
Let's
shout out my favorite team.
No. Whoa. We talk about the big team, and especially if they lose or get a negative result, we don't talk about the team that did it. So we should give Ipswich credit and give Axel Tuanzebe, who is a Manchester United Academy graduate, no?
Yep.
He played very well.
We'll never forget that lockdown performance on Mbappe.
Yeah.
And what Julian said earlier about Ipswich being a tough team to play away from home, it is true.
Genuinely, it is true.
They've drawn to Fulham. They've drawn to Leicester. Doesn't help my case here.
They beat
Spurs the other week, Spurs, right?
Most of their points have come from
come
home.
On. That's...
They beat Spurs and Spurs just beat City. So, you know, basically we're better than City.
Like, just the lamest joke you've ever said on this podcast. Anyway.
The point is, most of their points, I think almost all their points, except for three, come from home games.
Fair. Come from away games.
No, they come from home games. Ipswich points.
Come from away games.
No, because they've had more draws when they're at home, meaning they're more solid at home. That's why it's the whole point of it being tough playing at Ipswich. Okay.
Right.
No?
All right. Yeah. All right. Let's. Like, so did this game change any of your opinions about Amorim?
We're done with Amorim.
This game is making me like opinions for Amorim.
I already told you about
Amorim before in a sport thing. No, I was not.
All right. Okay, let's move to City. Who are an absolute crisis. My lord.
Yeah, it's crisis time.
They haven't lost five games in a row since their banter era.
Well, that was a long time ago.
Wasn't. You can't even call that a banter era. That was just like them who being they really shite. Were.
Yeah. Them without money.
That was just the reality era.
That was before the blood money came. Oh, sorry, the money came in.
Reality.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're on fraud watch, crisis watch. I don't know. There's not many things to say about City other than like, wow, you're terrible. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just nothing is going right for them. Their midfield balance.
That midfield is awful.
Because Kovacic is out now. So they have
nothing. They're playing Bernardo Silva, Gundogan, and Rico Lewis in the midfield.
So Gundo has to play that role, is trying to play that role.
Man, has he regressed.
But also, he's
not the same guy.
But also, Gundo doesn't play that role. He doesn't play the Kovacic-Rodri role. And that's what he's trying to do.
No.
So it's not his fault that he can't do it well. The two people who should be playing that role aren't there. And the midfield balance, like we said, is terrible. Haaland isn't getting service, so he's not scoring goals.
I remember we were saying, we were clowning Barca for letting go of their best player in Gundogan this summer. But now it's looking like it was the right thing to do because I'm watching him play for City and I don't see the Gundogan that I was seeing 2 years ago win the league for City and be that guy that can save you and that can replace any
that
top player that goes
that
missing.
We said? Like we raved at that. Like we were like, damn, how did they pull this off? Yeah. Free transfer for a guy that's played so well for them.
Maybe they saw something. Like Barca saw something to let him go.
Yeah.
It's inconvincing, man. Yeah.
Well, they saw a high wage bill, but
fair. Yeah. True. But yeah, defense terrible. Like the gaps,
man. I was
just ridiculous.
It is crazy.
I was baffled at Kyle Walker's level.
Oh my!
Yes,
the last couple
God.
Of games, I texted the group chat. Kyle Walker.
The
football has left Kyle Walker. Seriously, I'm not at all amazed or even wowed by his game. By his game, I'm not impressed. The things that I was seeing, not even a year, even 2 years ago, when Champions League final, Euros, World Cup,
locking down Vinny,
locking
Rashford,
down the best players
great,
in the world, Mbappe,
all these great wingers.
In the semifinal.
Yeah,
man,
it's crazy.
Where's he gone?
I also think that like the way in which what he was best known for is not really sustainable for a wing back like him as you age. Because I mean, like, don't get me wrong, he's good defending, but what's he best known for? I mean, his pace, right?
Good
like
point.
He's fast.
He relies gets up really and down heavily,
and with age,
he's a very speedy Gary Neville.
True. <Damn. laughs> True.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, he has got the fundamentals along with crazy athleticism, basically.
Yeah, and obviously, City's been done up with injuries, like.
No, yeah, of course.
Diaz wasn't playing this game. Obviously, Doku's out and Rodri and Kovacic, like I said. But every team, like, we're not doing that excuse, right? Every team has gone through injuries. Arsenal has. United did last year. Or the whole Ten Hag era.
City actually could actually in the past couple of... Go on.
Do you remember when Julian used to say that, like... I think it was last year, maybe this year before, when United was super injured, that once they just got their players back, everything would be fine.
Bro, but it fucking... Bro, our one game with all our players back at the end of the season, we fucking beat City. And we played spectacular in the FA Cup final. So was I so wrong to think that?
Well, I mean, you had players back. You didn't have Lenny Yoro last year, and he's been hurt. So you had players back at the start of this year and you didn't play well.
We just signed Lenny Oro. What are you?
No, that's what I mean. Like, you can't use Lenny Oro.
I know, but we had enough players back where you could.
I know. Then at the start of the year, though, this season you were still shit. You had players back.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, fair.
I know.
Anyway, not to anecdote away, but yeah, I mean, they're like the midfield balance is terrible. The gaps in the defense are just freaking awful. Mm-hmm. The outlets on attack are not good. Foden's been the shadow of himself, and we saw that. We talked about this earlier, I guess, I talked about it in the Euros, mm-hmm. how awful he was. And we just thought that it would not transfer into the normal season, but it just has. Like, he's just nowhere. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't impact the game in any sort of way that can help City win. And
I think the absence of De Bruyne has to do with Foden's level regressing a little bit, however, because
sure.
he would definitely benefit from the space that De Bruyne mm-hmm. would open just based off of his pure movement and passes. Man, that midfield is really bad. I'm not liking what I'm seeing from Savinho. I think it's very lackluster. It's not very convincing.
I can be honest, I like Savinho.
You like him?
I do. I think he's pretty direct. Like
he's direct and he's electric, but
yeah.
There's rarely anything that comes out of his
first season. It's okay.
Yeah.
I which 20 years old. I know you don't want to, you know, you want
to first season for Doku last season. Look at him.
Right.
Look what happened.
Right.
Like and these if you get signed to Manchester City, you're almost expected to deliver right away.
And
to any club for that matter.
And that is a criticism of both Doku and Savinho. Like I think Savinho's a little more direct, but they are not finished products. Like, their finished product is not good enough. It's not like
Doku. I'd still take Doku over Savinho.
I don't know. I'm not big on Doku.
Come on.
But I think he's a skill merchant.
You want overreaction?
Yeah.
Does this put Pep a little bit on fraud watch? Hear me out. What does this tell us about Pep Guardiola's history of, yes, having spectacular tactics, all that, being maybe the best coach the sport has ever seen?
Okay. Great start to your argument.
But he has, over his career, relied heavily on having like the best players in the world at his fingertips, right? And this has been one of the few times in his managerial career where he hasn't had one of those talismans available to use. And he has not found a way at all to tactic his way around it. Do you see where I'm coming
from? See where you're coming from.
Still, Rodri is a fucking fantastic player. Any team would be worse without one of those, right? But you still have some players at your fucking fingertips who have achieved amazing things in the sport over the past couple of seasons, and you cannot find a way to make it work. You cannot, and it's not even just finding the personnel in there to replace Rodri. You shouldn't do that. But tweak the system a little bit to try to make it work. Move your defensive line back. Maybe, you know, just tell players to play a little bit deeper. Whatever you have to do. Whatever he is doing right now is not working. And that is because he's trying to play the Man City, Pep Guardiola style of play without the most crucial piece of it.
Yeah, that's fair.
And he's being persistent, frankly, a little bit stubborn around it. And honestly, I'm a little bit like Pep. You're so good here, buddy. Like, what's going on?
It's fair.
Right?
It is fair to say that, but
He has benefited time and time again over his decade-plus-long career over, having the best players.
But he's had injury problems within those squads.
Yeah.
And a lot of them, too.
Of course.
I don't think you can judge a manager's, ability to react to these injuries based off of these five losses. I think he's going to bounce. He should bounce back. He will bounce back. Like you said, he's the best. You said maybe. He is the best manager that this sport has ever seen.
Let's talk about
and he knows how to get around these injuries. It's only been
The way he's gone around those injuries the last couple of years. Let's take, for example, let's take De Bruyne out last year. What did he do to replace De Bruyne? Well, he just stuck another world-class midfielder in his place, and they were fine. Bernardo Silva played there, Julian Alvarez played there, Phil Foden played there. And it fucking worked. It fucking worked. Holland was out for a long time last year. Julian Alvarez carried and more. Just went for 80 million as a bench player. He played there, though,
exactly.
And he fucking did well.
And why did he do good? Because he was tactically coached to play well as an attacking midfielder.
I'm not saying he wasn't tactically coached, but I'm saying now you're actually posed with more of a tactical problem. It's not as easy as, you know.
Lad, there's no way we're debating Pep Guardiola tactics when he fully reinvented the sport.
I know exactly.
I know. He has fully. But has part of that, has he not the reason, fucking hell, I can't get my words out. Has that not been slightly, maybe more than we think, due to the excellent players that he's had?
Well, sure. But it's also.
Would he be able to do that with an Ipswich?
Yeah, but that we've had this debate with every good manager.
I know.
Like, you can't. It's apples to oranges. Like, you can't.
But mate, Kieran McKenna will deal every week with you know, oh, this important player is out and whatever the fuck.
Yeah, but like, they also don't play. You're right though. They're not going to play tiki taka inverted fullback this side of sort of system.
Of course.
But the players in this system still, Gundogan, Silva, Rico Lewis as a center mid is maybe a little weird, but. You would expect this team that they pulled out, Guardiola, Akanji, Stones, and Walker, while they're missing Ruben Diaz, that's still a top four back line in this league. You wouldn't expect them to concede four at home to Tottenham. So at the same time, there is probably an element of Pep Guardiola being a little shell-shocked that his best players are out, and he needs to do something differently tactically, of course, especially in the Champions League now after coming off the loss against Sporting. But at the same time, the players are just not doing their job right now.
Yeah,
and it does go both ways, true. But your point does have a bit of validity to it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He is still top two, could even argue top one managers of fucking all time. Mm-hmm. But
it's really hard when you're missing a profile like Rodri. You can't just replace a Rodri.
I know you can't just replace a Rodri, but you have to tweak the system. He's not tweaking the system.
I also don't care about that because everyone has injuries.
You have to adapt.
Yeah.
You have to adapt. He's not adapting.
We were out with...
This is such a common issue that football managers face.
His ways of adapting is going to be buying another midfielder, a tall midfielder that fits Rodri's profile.
Well, fucking let's get into that. What are the chances that they just splash 70 M's on Zubimendi? Yeah.
Wow.
So potential replacements, all right? You give me your...
I do want to get to Tottenham, though, because we're doing it again.
Of course.
We're doing it again.
Martin Zubimendi rejected Liverpool in the summer. £52 million release clause. Like... Is it the most impossible in the world? No. And that fucking scares the shit out of me.
I don't know. I don't know enough about him. Like, I've seen the stuff. I know the
Rodri
profile.
Regen,
but
basically.
I know.
He is like the dream.
Yeah, but I don't... Eye test, right? I don't know the eye test, so.
Fair. There are also... Other ones of that profile include Ederson from Atalanta.
I like him.
I know that. Really like him. He's really good.
He's really good.
I think a little more.
He's a little shorter.
A little more box to box.
More Kovacic kind of role. So it wouldn't fit. It wouldn't.
Yeah. But could morph into that. You never know.
And even when Rodri comes back, they do need depth in that position. I think we've learned that.
Sure.
So even if they don't, you know, get one of these guys in January,
be a summer target. And I guess this wasn't addressed on the pod. He's back for another year. Yep. Pep is.
He's what?
Pep is back for another year, which we didn't say. And also, someone's out. Vicario just got surgery. He's out. Did y'all see that?
Oh.
Did y'all see that?
Is that breaking news?
It happened like this afternoon. Okay. But he's out. I don't know for how long.
Who's going to play for them in net and how much are they in FPL?
Fraser Forster. Yeah.
He plays for City?
Or
Tottenham.
Yeah.
Still?
Yeah.
Wow.
Where's Gazzaniga now?
He's in Girona.
He's
the reason we won against them.
Right.
But yeah, so Vicario's out. I think it's for an unknown amount of time, but it's surgery, which is never good. I think it was ankle, maybe. Let me fact check for you. We can keep going. I'll get back in that.
Keep hitting me with these potential.
Simeone Ricci from Torino.
I like him.
Sorry, fractured his ankle. 4 months, they're saying, maybe. Multiple months, rather.
That is rough.
He did have surgery.
Man, Vicario's one of the... bright spots of Tottenham over the last 2 years.
Yeah, but he's a little overrated. His shot-stopping ability is very good. Inability to come for a cross or his like withdrawal whenever a cross comes in is very
his authority very bad. Is not the best.
But he's a good keeper. Decent keeper.
You were saying Samuel Ricci. Yep. Ricci. Italian Torino.
Yep.
I discovered him against France in ironically.
Oh yes,
ironically,
that's why I remember the name.
Ironically,
yes.
In the Nations League where that Blake obviously doesn't like to watch. But that's where I discovered him when Italy beat us 3-1. Man, he really, really impressed me. I seriously saw like a mini Pirlo in him. And it sounds crazy to say, but he was bossing the midfield like very, very mature, very elegant.
Right.
It was, trust me, very good.
How
tall is he?
Quick thing. While you look up how tall he is.
Doesn't say, but he's 20.
How does anyone even understand Nations League? Like, just say yes or no, because I didn't for the longest time until I just recently. But if I asked you to explain it right now, could you do it well?
No. Not really.
Like, whoever got promoted, San Marino got promoted.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean promoted? what is going on? So the Nations League is literally just like, It's essentially them playing for fun, is what you're telling me.
Well, no, there's I think World Cup and Euros qualification attached to it.
Yeah, that they're playing.
I'm
not for
sure
fun.
There is. I think the league, the B, C, D leagues. I think that they might be playing for fun, but the A league, they have a trophy, right? What I don't like is
the whole thing.
No. What I don't like about it, like I don't mind the tournament. It's a way of
no, it's terrible.
No, but it's a way of filling in the.
It's that or friendlies, mate.
Exactly. It's that or friendlies.
Whatever.
The thing I don't like about it is that the final was played in like fucking 8 years, dude. It's so annoying. It seems like the final was played because the final of this year's Nations League is going to be played next year. Like yeah, the wait is too long. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, enough Nations League talk. I can't.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, talk about other names. Oh, sorry. Hakan Çalhanoğlu. Another one.
Doesn't
more attacking.
Yeah.
No.
Can I say my favorite goal ever? By the way, yes. Is scored by him. His goal at the halfway line. Have I said this before?
Yeah, yeah. I never said that.
That is my favorite goal ever.
Okay. For back in the what Leverkusen days?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Was it Leverkusen?
He did play for Leverkusen for a bit.
No. It was Hamburg?
No, it was...
might have been Hamburg. He went Hamburg.
I think it was I think it was the Hamburg goal.
Yeah, remember
Hold
that.
On. But no,
I think it was like... I think it was like the Bundesliga edition Brazuca too. Oh, man. Great times. Great times. Okay. Other names is Reinders. AC Milan.
I fucking love Reinders.
Yeah.
He's really like Reinders. One of my favorite players. Seriously.
Reports suggest Man City have tested the waters over a move.
Hamburg.
Others saying Milan have... Thank Sorry. You. Others saying Milan are planning to double his wages to ward off the attention.
He's good.
Wait, also...
Man City are going to double his wages?
No.
Milan might double his wages to get
He seriously is a good, like, a really good player.
Also about Ricci, there were reports that Man City sent scouts to watch Torino's game against Inter to cast their eye over him. Other names is Adam Wharton.
Oh my God.
Okay, we're begging.
Frankie De Jong, Leon Goretzka, Nico Barella.
We're begging it now.
Goretzka could be an option. He's always linked with a move away.
Nice. But again, like, Goretzka is like just a FIFA guy to me. I've seen him play. He's played fine, but like if you ask me,
the football's left Goretzka.
I don't know.
He doesn't crack the starting lineup at Bayern. He's a guy that fits Rodri's profile, and he's tall and he's big and he can put in a challenge. But he hasn't played a proper game in a minute. Yeah.
No, I understand.
A competitive game. I'm not talking about Bayern St. Pauli.
Tottenham lads.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about them, but I feel like I'm trying to spread out the love a little bit.
Yeah, we need to talk about them.
All right. Let's go.
Get I don't have much to say because it's Tottenham. No, but genuinely, like, obviously they're a Man City bogey team, and they have been for a while now.
That's crazy.
They started this losing streak, too.
That's actually insane.
Yeah.
Every time.
They did start it, yeah. Like, it's just such a weird thing.
Like, what is that?
But Kulusevski, his pass Madison on the first goal.
What a player. What a player.
They just played... They just tore him apart. Mm-hmm. I think there's still glaring issues in that Tottenham squad, of course. Like, Pap Sarr is just not a player that I think should...
Well, I think he did well, bro. Him and Bissouma ran circles.
Of course, but are they going to do that every week? No.
No.
They certainly didn't do it. I don't know who played against the Switch, but yeah. I mean, Bed Davies played at left back, or at center back, again, an issue.
Yeah.
But they played well, and that's a thing that they can build on. And if they want to, you know, keep pushing for those top spots, this is a huge step for them.
And it's crazy because we were saying a couple weeks ago that Ange is on the hot seat. This is what I was saying. Very reactionary.
He's on and off the hot
and
seat,
now,
bro. He's
bang,
playing
he's
musical
off.
Chairs with the hot seat.
Yeah, well, their form has been...
Well, I mean, sixth place in a highly competitive Premier League this season is not bad at
it's
all.
It's just their consistency, right? Win 4-1 against West Ham, lose 1-0 Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
Win 4-1 against Villa... Lose 2-1 to Ipswich, and then you win against City. So it's just the consistency.
That is the thing.
You know? But anyway. Drew, you want to talk to me about a little sponsor that we got?
Oh. Funny that you say that, Blake. Listen, man. We got a bunch of kids into the studio last week, and I wish one of them was Tottenham. I wish
Seriously,
one of them was Tottenham. Because somebody in this room still has an FPL punishment
to
serve.
I was at Sportcheck the other day, and I see a Tottenham kid. I was debating just getting it, like, pulling up to the pod with it. Miles slips it on.
I know.
I think I prefer that one, though.
But, hey, maybe with this new thing we got going on, hey, maybe we'll get a Tottenham kid back in the studio soon, and you'll be fucking serving that. Because you're not getting away from it.
No, seriously. Like, it's getting out of hand.
You cannot escape. Like, you are... We won't get into details, but you are...
We won't spoil anything.
We don't have too much longer.
We don't have a little...
For you to wear that Tottenham kit. It was supposed to be a semester-long thing. You fucking got out easy.
And the fact... He doesn't even mention it, too, so he's, like, sneakily trying to get away.
I know. It's just been purely up to us, but now, with this...
Yeah, we might.
You don't fucking get out of it. Tell me about the details, Antoine.
So we partnered up with the New Jersey Plug, who's someone that we partnered with 2 years ago.
Oh my God.
You want to give them the lore?
Oh my God. Give them the lore, dude. Our second semester here at school, when we were getting into TikToks, and that was like the first big push we did on social media, and like we did very well. And he was like the first brand to reach out to us like, hey guys, love the content. What do you think if I send you guys some kits and you guys just wear them in your videos and give us a little shout out? And we were like,
why not?
Oh my God. Like, what, we were like 18, 19 years old at the time, free kits. Oh my goodness. I would have lost my mind at that a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. Remember the video of us opening?
I remember.
Yeah, it was cute.
He took one of it was a Milan
kit. It's a cute video.
But yeah, basically we decided to, or he hit us up again, wants to partner with us. And they have a nice little Black Friday deal going on their website, 50% off site-wide.
Very
so
nice.
Any jersey. Any
including the ones that we're wearing right
retro
now.
Retro jersey, new mm-hmm. jersey, anything. Hey, 50% off site-wide.
Hey. And don't forget.
Okay, we're not doing this.
They can't hear you.
And also,
a little bonus, if you use code 6YARDBOX at checkout, you get 15% off.
Is that the code?
6YARDBOX, 6YARDBOX.
Name of the podcast. Ooh. W New Jersey Plug.
W New Jersey Plug.
W. I know.
Yeah, low key some good moments. Some good moments. So yeah, they've been.
That was like, they're actually our number one supporters. Seriously.
Yeah, we love them over there.
Hey,
we
so if you're them. If you're looking for a jersey or anything, like not even trying to beg it, but like genuinely, like that is your spot with absolutely. The extra code too. Like, hey, Black Friday, holidays coming up. You want to get yourself or somebody else that you love a nice little gift? You know the fucking spot.
Hit it up.
Yeah, link in all the descriptions. But anyways, let's get into Arsenal. Okay.
Okay.
Oh wait, we didn't even mention the giveaway.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Oh my God! We forgot to say the giveaway.
Oh yeah.
On
top of that, we are also doing a giveaway with the New Jersey Plug.
We are doing a giveaway.
We are.
We have two separate jerseys to give away.
Listen, I'm gonna pull them out. I'm gonna pull them out because we got the kits. Sure. We got the kits last week, and there were some that we were like, okay, I mean, like,
yeah, sure,
great kits. Don't get me wrong, but you know, with the demographic in this room, we were like, you know,
I don't know,
not exactly.
Why are you like being so mysterious? They were they were just kits that we wouldn't wear.
Oh yeah, you got a Man United fan in here, and two Arsenal fans.
Yeah,
they didn't really like the city, obviously, rivals and league winners.
Yeah,
so I don't want to hold this too tight, but we got
this is a beautiful jersey, seriously though.
This was, I think, the third or fourth kit. But anyway, a collaboration with Oasis. Obviously, Oasis getting back together this year. This is a big fucking deal. It is a city kit, so not my taste, not any of your taste. But beautiful kit. And then, secondly, we have Mo.
Mo Salah.
Careful. Good kit, too.
With.
Great kit. Ballon d'Or year.
Yeah, this could be
this
the jersey
will
that,
be.
That Mo Salah is
wearing. All right, you're
betting.
Scored a pen. But.
When he... We're gonna get to Liverpool. This could be the jersey that he wears when he's winning the Ballon d'Or.
So yeah. So we're gonna do two separate giveaways, correct?
So go to the 6YARDBOX Instagram if you want to learn more about that. Well, maybe by the time they're listening to that, maybe.
Just keep your eye out. Keep your eye out.
If not, keep your eye out because it's gonna be coming in the next few days.
Two separate giveaways. Same post, two different winners. Just follow the instructions on the post. For
also, size large for all of them. If you're not large, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Arsenal?
Now let's get into Arsenal.
Sure.
What were you saying before this weekend about Arsenal?
I thought they're going to draw this game. And maybe that's
why?
The pessimist in me. Because last season and the season before, you guys knew I never thought we were going to win the league at all because I was right, because I know this team, once again. So you can't ever call me delusional because I knew we weren't ever going to win the league. Even when we were 9 points ahead, I was scared, which gets to my point about Liverpool that I also think that they shouldn't be too confident right now because that's a different story. We'll get to there. I thought we were going to draw. We didn't draw. We had a really good performance. One of the better performances of our season.
The best performance.
Probably. And no surprise that Martin Odegaard might have been the best player on the pitch. Obviously, he got an assist, didn't score. Mm-hmm. But, man, his ability to stop and just create and just hold and just wait for the right ball or the right pass or the right, you know, body feint, movement. He is just simply one of the most influential players I've ever seen in a football game ever. Like, it's crazy. Obviously, Saka is the big hitter, and he also has his own thing. But Martin Odegaard is simply, like, one of the most creatively exceptional players I've ever watched. Like up there with Ozil guys. Like he's up there with Ozil in my eyes.
Yeah.
Like just the little things that you'd think that are so simple that he does, they impact the game so heavily. It's like little touch passes, little flicks, little layoffs that just most players don't think of doing, and they're so small, but he just does them time and time and again. He's immense. Team played immense. The defense was finally good. That balance of Hardy, Odegaard, and Marino was good. I thought Marino actually played pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No Declan Rice today with an injury, but that's okay.
Arteta's making it work. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, relax. But yeah, I don't have much to say other than I think we'll probably lose.
Stop.
Oh my god. Midweek. But oh my god.
We never play well in Portugal. But
what I will say is that the European performances that Arsenal have been putting up even in the last couple of years have been subpar to what they were showing.
Especially in Portugal, yeah.
Yeah.
Mate, you don't have a curse in that country. Like just play well and you'll be fine.
You should win.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
Well, again, we're still missing that striker that can just shoot one in whenever we need. Mm. Right now, that's Saka.
Are you scouting Gyökeres tomorrow?
I don't need to scout for shit. I need to be there with my sign telling, please come here, and I'll give you all my money in my bank account right now. Like, he's, yeah. You guys have anything?
I have nothing to add beyond that. Like, you guys won pretty comfortably, just as I expected. I didn't think the Forest form would really hold long term, and you guys showed them who's actually worth
being that top. Yeah, we dominated the whole game. That's the thing. Like, again, it's not boring Arsenal, they win all the time, but our wins like this are boring. Not boring to watch. Boring to analyze, in my opinion. Because
this is the Arsenal we're used to.
This is the system. The system was put into place. It worked very well. It was Trossard on the left, not Martinelli to start, which again was better. He wasn't hogging the ball up through the middle, which was fantastic.
And magically, when Martinelli's not playing, he won.
Okay. Well done. But yeah, we go again. I think we'll be fine in midweek, realistically, hopefully.
Who do you play?
Sporting.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm fucking dumb.
Ethan Nwaneri, Blake?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God. How did I not get to that? Ethan Nwaneri. Oh, my God.
I want to hear a bit from Miles.
You want to give the stat?
Nice kick about with the boys, isn't it? Oh, it was good. I have nothing really to add. I think you kind of covered it. It felt like the good old days of us bringing up Arsenal going, yeah, good win, 3 points, move on.
Yeah, I did miss that.
I mean, I don't want to say it because it makes me think of negative thoughts in the aspect of missing Odegaard, but like, dude's unreal. I mean, do you see that move that he made where like there's like a defender coming right at him and he has the ball and he just does that like little like flick with the ball between his two legs and someone just like,
it's ridiculous.
How does someone do that? Great win. I was happy.
And I saw something that people were comparing Arda Güler to Odegaard because Odegaard rotted on the bench at Real Madrid until he came to us.
Right.
Again, still early for Arda Güler, but at some point he's got to play.
He has been.
Like a lot?
No.
He hasn't.
The weekend. Came off the bench on the weekend.
Yeah, came off the bench. Though.
I think he was starting some games as well.
That's the same thing that Odegaard was doing. Yeah. Odegaard was only playing.
Hold on, let me
starting when...
I thought he just didn't play at all. Not fair.
No, he was starting when someone was injured.
We've known about Odegaard for 10 years. Take that in. It was this time.
He was 16.
Yeah, it was late 2014. I think 15 when Real Madrid signed him.
Wow.
He was a FIFA 15 wonder kid.
Well, and his career was about to go south until it didn't.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until he went Sociedad and then Arsenal.
Yeah. But anyway, Ethan Nwaneri, just want to say, he does now have more goals, like in all competitions. More than Foden, more than Rodrigo, and more than, is there one more? Do we know? Might be like a striker. Anthony, of course. But I know. Hey, more goals than Foden in all comps. That's pretty good.
I mean,
let's save those conversations.
All comps,
please,
is encompassing that he's playing like in the Champions League. Let's be honest here. He scored 3 goals in the League Cup and 1 in the Premier League. I will say he's probably the best English youngster of his generation.
He actually has that potential. Legitimately, he does.
But
he's so good, guys.
did I just seriously hear you compare Foden and Nwaneri?
Dad, I'm just begging it. Like, you know, I'm just begging it. But yeah, good win for Arsenal. W. We can move on.
Also, back on the City point. I think it's crazy how Arsenal doesn't have a number nine. They're still doing good. However, City doesn't has the best number nine and on five losses.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Accents your point. Accents your point.
It does.
Yep.
Anyways.
Some validity to it, for sure. Pool. So, can I go to my point about what I was going to say?
Cook, brother.
I think you were talking about this in class, right?
About yeah. Pool? Yeah. So, you also said, you just said earlier in the pod, that there's 36 games that are all tough, and then there's two against Southampton that aren't, that are free wins. That certainly wasn't a free win for Liverpool. And my point is, what I'm going to say is, while they won, and are we really taking our shirt off against Southampton?
That was kind of crazy, I will say.
Off of a penalty.
Yeah, that was.
Did he get a yellow for that, obviously?
Brother. Well, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Crazy. So,
that cost me a lot of FPL points.
Fair. Little freaking ridiculous, if you ask me, but whatever. My point is, I was on it. I was busy. I was in and out of this game, so I watched and I didn't. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, you go down, you have to fight your way back into the and win the game. That's going to happen. However, we saw with Arsenal the past couple of seasons that, you know, maybe not every game you win is going to be easy. And there's going to be, you know, the championship-esque wins where you, like, you win a game and it's the, you know, they say it's the sign of champions. However, you have too many of those, like Arsenal did, and they stop happening.
Okay.
This is the first of that we've seen for Liverpool.
Yeah.
They have too many of these and they keep grinding out these wins and it's tough on the players and, you know, it's 90th minute. They keep having to score winners. You have to rely on penalties and you have to rely on them gifting you pretty much three goals. It's not a recipe for success. Now, I'm not saying that Liverpool haven't been the best team in the league this season. They clearly have. Arne Slot's tactics have, you know, been instilled into the players immensely.
Yep.
Salah's, I specifically said Salah might not be the same Salah, and he is, if not better than he has been.
Yeah.
Definitely better than last season. Luis Diaz has been well. The nine has been rotating. But no, it's been Nunes pretty much. But he's been doing fine. Midfield's been great. Yeah. A lot of good things.
Gravenberch is a transformed player.
Gravenberch has been fantastic. Van Dijk's still there. Kanate, whatever. Mm-hmm. They're missing their best goalie. And they're still pumping out these results.
Keller's an excellent for backup. Good. Wow.
My point, however, Southampton away, sure. Concede two. You have to win 3-2 off of a penalty, off of a bad play by the keeper. You keep relying on these outside factors to get you a win. It's not going to end up rewarding you at the end of the season.
I will say, though, it is different from what we saw with Arsenal 2 years ago because of the fact that Liverpool played better than Southampton did in that game. When I think of Arsenal Bournemouth, when you guys had to salvage that last minute winner through Reece Nelson, Bournemouth played debatably played better than you guys.
But I can also say that none of those three goals that Liverpool scored were from their own doing.
Fair enough.
It was a penalty. It was a terrible play by the keeper. And then what was the first goal? I forget. And I think it was another kind of shaky one.
The first goal was the mistake. The second one was like a ball over the top.
I put that on the goalie.
But maybe a mistouch, whatever.
And then a crazy penalty. So in my opinion, I could shoot back the exact argument that none of those three goals were earned by a Liverpool playing well. And
It is still a result of Liverpool playing well because they're creating the chances to begin.
You can see two to the worst team in the league.
You do. Defensively is a different story.
When did Salah score the winner? Like, what minute was it?
Like, it was like 82nd.
Okay, so that's late
enough. I'm not going
to... I don't know if that's late enough to take the shirt off.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, it was pretty early for the shirt off.
This was like 87th?
That's what I mean. I think he scored
Then, okay. 5 minutes left, you score the winner in any game, then...
83rd.
It's 83rd.
But do you guys understand what I'm saying? Like...
No, like, I see where you're coming from. I don't think it's that just yet. I think we'll see that later in the season.
Absolutely. I'm just warning because I saw it firsthand.
Yeah.
You get a lot of these late wins and you feel fantastic. Liverpool fans are probably elated.
Right.
Because the late winners are the best thing in football.
They feel amazing.
Yeah. Right? But again, they're tiring. This mental grind of having to attack, and you know, against a low block, it's tiring and it's hard.
And at some point, it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
You don't get
the last minute. And it's, again, this is like the first time they've done this.
Mm-hmm.
But they have a rough schedule ahead. They have Tottenham, they have City next, they have Fulham. They got a tough schedule. Yep. We'll see how they do. But ultimately, can you guys look at me and say that you can't see with the rest with how the rest of the league has been playing so far this year? You can't see Liverpool going on like a 2-game losing streak?
No, or
like
absolutely.
It's been highly competitive at the top.
If this was the Man City that we knew, like with the pedigree at the top of the table, I'd, like we'd be saying pretty comfortably that like, okay, this is Man City's league to lose.
Yeah.
Like but that's not what we're saying for Liverpool.
Right.
There are a lot of question marks about that team still. They need to be tested more, I feel like, and they will be, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
We have so much football coming up in the next couple of weeks. Yeah. And like
finally.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Uninterrupted.
Like
football.
So many match weeks coming and so much fatigue and so much rotation and so many fixture swings. So like there's gonna be a lot of shakeup in the table over the next little while. And
it'll be fun. It'll be fun. The Christmas period is always where
it's always good.
Is always where something happens. It's always where Arsenal fall away.
But also the best point for FPL.
Yeah, true. The double game weeks and shit.
Oh my God, yes.
So yeah, it was a good week of footy. A lot of good stuff happened this week.
Yeah,
so.
Almost a perfect weekend for you as an Arsenal fan.
Almost.
You needed one more Ipswich goal, maybe one more Southampton goal, and you're there.
Fantastic. I know.
I know. All right.
Anything else major in the Prem?
Nothing else major in the Prem.
Not really.
I'm gonna give a few flowers out because we should. Sure. We are a football podcast. West Ham beating Newcastle.
Yeah, but Nuki's on fraud watch, bro.
Nuki's on fraud. What's the reason for him?
I
forget now.
I thought they started the game very well. Newcastle. It was.
You were watching. You're being a
very. It wasn't a very entertaining game. I thought Newcastle started well. They scored an offside goal, and then against the run of play, West Ham scores, and from there it was subtle domination. It wasn't complete domination because Newcastle were still getting opportunities, but it was subtle domination.
In October in the Premier League, Nuki went 2 losses, a draw, and a win. And then they obviously beat Arsenal, beat Forest, but then they just lost to West Ham. So again, it's that consistency that they're trying to find right now.
Yeah. Besides that, Wolves with a big 4-1 win over Fulham.
Oh, yeah,
this kind of takes them out the relegation conversation
that's huge.
A little bit.
Well,
huge. No, I always thought like they had some really tough fixtures to start the year.
Yeah.
So I think this is returning to the norm.
Shout out your FPL boy. Shout out your FPL
we'll
boy.
There.
Should I?
We'll get there.
Should I take him in?
Did you have them relegated?
I
think you did.
Let me tell you.
I think you did.
Let me tell you. Did I?
I think I remember that you did. I think I was the only one defending my Wolves.
Also, Leicester sacked the manager.
Yeah, they did.
Predictions. No, I didn't have Wolves.
You didn't?
I had Southampton, Leicester, and Forest.
Oh, damn.
So Forest is a bad one. Yeah. Maybe that was you have Wolves? Defending. Wolves, I don't know. We only did 20-18 and then 10-1.
Okay.
So but I had him somewhere.
Leicester sacked their manager.
Yeah, Leicester, Steve Cooper is gone. Cooper. Not that he was a good manager at all, and it's been proven before. He had one tiny good stint with Nottingham Forest when he first came to the Premier League, and then it just downfall from there.
Yep.
Leicester gave him a second chance. It wasn't working.
Yeah. No. Leicester, I just never saw the vision with them all this season. Did you see like they were partying afterwards?
Yeah, I was
and like
bring
after
up, yeah.
losing to Chelsea with did you see it? They're partying in the club and they had an I miss you Enzo sign in there.
That's crazy.
That is actually fucking insane. And it was just hours before they announced that Steve Cooper got sacked.
Fair.
But doing that is like a big sign of how shit this squad is. Like, I don't know if a new manager will be able to save it because like that is a damning indictment on.
They are linked to Graham Potter, however, who's also been linked to big clubs. I think he did a great job at Brighton.
No. But it's
and it fell off at Chelsea, but I still see the potential with Graham Potter. I think he could do a decent job with Leicester. So if they pick him up,
I don't even want to have the conversation.
We don't have to have the conversation.
To me, it's just like this manager has been he had his chance. He did the Brighton thing, and then he did the Chelsea thing, and obviously it fell flat on his face. I'm sure. I know he's a decent manager.
Not at all.
And it's been proven by before and
was
after
the Arsenal job easy?
No. You guys got the perfect candidate for it, though. A Pep disciple that's been working with him for a lot of years.
Anyway, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they have a decent squad. It's not even like they're rooted in the relegation spots like we predicted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they're only like a point or two above it, but still.
Yeah.
So it's a weird time to sack a manager, but they must have a candidate in mind.
I
would hope so.
The last thing I'll say is I just think it shows an initiative to at least want to Which you know, is, yeah. Like, you don't always see, like, a relegation, a newly promoted team sack their manager.
Yep.
So, like, the fact that I think it's good initiative by
Sam Allardyce, listen. Who says no?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Is he still even around?
Yeah, I think.
Is he not retired?
I thought his main...
Big Sam.
His main thing was to save relegation candidates.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Why not?
Until West Brom.
Yeah. Right. Sure, why not? Fair enough. Okay, great. Shall we go international, lads?
Yes. Yes, we should. Al Nassr just got a 3-1 win over Al Garrafa.
Please.
Ronaldo
please.
With a brace.
Stop!
If we're not talking about MLS and Messi scoring, we're not talking about that bum Ronaldo. Sorry. He's not a bum. He's not a bum.
A little bit of venom behind that. Jesus Christ.
He's not a bum.
Okay, let's go to La Liga.
Sure.
Where there's been some drama.
Man.
Barcelona are
this is
now...
all YouTube, by the way. I'm sorry. Usually I do try to keep up.
I'm going to skim over this because like I wasn't locked into these games whatsoever. After the developments this weekend, Barcelona are now 4 points ahead of Real Madrid in second, but Real Madrid have a game in hand.
Mm.
So that could easily become 1 point, and then this league becomes very, very, very entertaining. Atletico Madrid not far behind either. So what happened was Real Madrid got a comfortable 4-0 win over Osasuna. Mbappe played well. Who else scored?
Bellingham had a great game. Bellingham played.
Did he?
Well. Yeah.
Finally.
Yeah. It's been pretty consistent over the last 2-3 games now. Finally.
2-3 is.
Yes. Compared to. Okay. I get you.
Sorry.
Bellingham played very well. It was 3-0, wasn't it?
And to be fair, Arteaga.
It was 3-0.
Yeah. To be fair, Arteaga, like you said, did play this week and I think got an assist. So. There you go.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Yeah, Vinicius played well, but you're saying he's injured now?
Yeah, Vinicius is injured. Oh. I was going to bring this up. I think Vinicius injured is going to elevate Mbappe to the level that we're used to seeing.
Maybe.
Because now he can play on the left. Slap Endrick at the striker. Mbappe coming in from the left.
Hmm.
Who says no?
Interesting. Yeah, I don't say no.
How is Danny Ceballos starting for this team, bro? God damn.
Because they're so thin, bro. Valverde had to play right back.
No, but even when they weren't thin, like he played games last year too.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
He did.
But he played a good amount.
Yeah.
Anyway. But the thing is, with Vinicius' injury, he's just going to slide right back in the team no matter how good Mbappe does.
Of course.
So it's going to be, he might do good, but then it'll just go right back to striker.
That is the issue, isn't it? And we talked about it.
We did.
That's the Galacticos issue. Let's go to the Barcelona game now, where... they were 2-0 up against Celta Vigo, looking comfortable.
Shout out Iago Aspas.
Until the what was it?
Shout out Iago Aspas. Celta Vigo is usually a Barcelona bogey team, just like the same way Tottenham is to City.
I mean, they proved to be again.
Yeah.
They were comfortable until the 82nd minute, until Marc Casado got a red card.
Yeah. Oh, Iago Aspas is still playing.
Yeah, he did. He is.
Yes, bro.
He scored. Did he score?
No, he didn't. Usually he always does against Barcelona.
Yeah, he's still aboard.
That's like the meme in Spain and in Barcelona. Every time Celta Vigo play him, he scores.
How is he still playing?
I don't know. How old is he now?
37.
Wow.
What a guy.
Captain. Hey, Celta Vigo fucking legend.
Like, football legend. Not, fuck, I'll give him that.
Absolutely.
I'll give him that.
It's not that common seeing a player
stay
37? That long in a club. That's loyalty
right
there.
What a lad, bro. Still in 353 games for Celta Vigo, he has 159 goals. Yeah.
Wow.
A goal every 3 games.
Wow. He played for Liverpool?
You didn't know that?
I had no idea.
Like way back in the day.
He played 15 games.
He played 15 games, scored one goal.
Hey.
Got on the score sheet.
It's like 2015?
2013, I'd say.
He's essentially, throughout his entire career, has pretty much been like a goal every 3-game player.
No. Pretty good.
Over a, what, very good. Over a 30-game, or a 30, that's like 15 goals over a 38-game season.
This is not where I thought this recap would go.
Sorry. Iago Aspas love, I don't hate it.
It's just like, we need to give love to our niche little player. He's not really niche, but yeah.
Anyways, Marc Casado, red card in the 82nd minute. You would still assume that Barcelona is going to be fine from that point.
So right.
Interrupting absolutely. Again.
Tranmere Rovers, Loney.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that.
He was not very good.
What?
Like, not in the game,
not at least.
I played him for four games.
Man, he
was a January Loney signing. I needed some cover at the DM position.
He's somebody that really, really impresses me.
Oh, who's that Spanish young right back that you guys have? I just brought him in. Yeah, you guys, Arsenal.
You guys have a Spanish.
We have a Spanish.
You have a young Spanish right back.
Hector Bellerin.
Shut up.
Last name Suarez, I think. So, not Cedric Suarez, obviously.
Anyways, he's Portuguese.
No, he's Spanish. But I brought him into my Benfica career mode.
Oh,
Anyways. Is he like an academy? I don't know.
Look him up. Kay. Anyways, and then 84th minute, Celta score once. 86th minute, they score again.
Did you see the Barca choke two points? Did you see the first goal? How it happened?
No.
Man. Fresneda? Is that his name?
No.
I don't even know who you're talking about.
Maybe.
Big Koundé mistake, who's been having a flawless season thus far.
No.
Basically almost gifts both the goals. He definitely gifts the first goal, but the second goal is debatable. Basically, he's on the edge of his 6-yard box, and he's looking to pass it back to Iñaki Peña. And he just completely stumbles over the ball. And then our boy Gonzalez comes and sweeps it up and scores. And 2 minutes later, bang, another one.
Yeah, I don't know who it is, Blake.
Yeah,
I forget his name. About. Maybe what happened is he transferred.
Probably.
To Arsenal to start.
Yeah.
And then.
We don't really have.
Okay. Anywho. And you're on your Arsenal young star. So
I would be.
Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah.
Anyways. I think that's about, I think that's about done, really. There's some games in Serie A, but I was mentioning this to you before. Like, this is how I know Serie A is kind of washed in my eyes. Coverage-wise, it's a great league. Two of the biggest games in the country happened this weekend. I had no idea.
Yeah. And here's the thing. I've realized over this era of us doing, you know, the show, you kind of can't... We're a Prem podcast, which is... Yeah. We talk about a lot of things, but if we try to do more than that, like, we'll be here for 8 hours. Like, this is why football is really hard, because it's like the thing of the best shows. Like,
they're not
talking about everything. They're talking about like one league. Yeah. So I know we're biased to our Premier League teams, but
that's of course okay. We admit to it. You know,
Daily Pod, Daily Pod, one league per day.
If y'all want to edit some of those? Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Roundup. Of the Fantasy Premier League.
I want to do a quick Champions League preview first.
Yeah, I was going to say, we kind of skimmed over.
Oh, we are doing that.
I think you have a hot take in there?
I already said we were going to lose.
We're going to go through super quick.
I don't like these previews, guys. But why?
Why, bro?
Every single time there's Champions League, you say you don't like the preview. The next day, something crazy happens, and we all say that we should be potting on Mondays, or on Tuesdays,
yes,
and Wednesdays.
Yes, because the preview does it, like, we don't predict that, like.
No, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
We made a good call the last the Sporting League game. Preview.
So when I say Sporting's going to beat Arsenal, though, it's blasphemy.
Well, there was reason behind it for me.
Imagine Sporting go back-to-back beating the top two teams in the Premier League.
Actually, fuck it. Sporting's going to win. I'll say it now.
Be massive.
I'll be in Florida, though. I can't wait.
Bayern against PSG. What do we think?
Man, it's looking like another loss, let's be honest here. No, I've lost all hope. I'm going to be honest. I've lost all hope. I don't think we'll make the top. Yeah, I think that we will make the top 24. I won't be surprised if we don't.
Mm.
That makes sense?
Are you more excited for that game or the Barca versus Brest game?
I think Brest can pull something here. I think Brest can pull something here.
Man,
seriously.
I miss when RC Lens were in the Champions
League. Because Monaco already did. And now Brest.
Oh, my God.
Hey. Roman del Castillo. Remember
the
name.
The best games are on tomorrow. Besides the...
I know. I'm like hoping a VPN works or something.
Yeah. Well, I'm in my show, so I'm like...
Yeah.
I'm content producer, so I'm going to be doing nothing.
I know. You're not doing shit.
So I'm just going to be
watching. If you do want to pay, you can watch it on Paramount. It's like $13 maybe.
Fair. Ooh. That's actually intriguing.
And they have good highlight packs, apparently.
And they have TT.
No, there's not that many good.
And they have TT.
Let's be honest here.
Kate Scott.
You get Kate Hapto, TT, and...
Okay.
Kate Scott.
Oh, sorry.
Kate Scott.
That's my bad. No, I put my hands up. I apologize. Sorry about that.
Okay. You said that all the good games are tomorrow. I'm not sure they are.
Arsenal Sporting tomorrow. Arsenal Sporting is going to be a fun game.
Arsenal Sporting.
Is that home? That's home.
Bayern PSG is a good one.
Arsenal Sporting home, right?
Yeah, no.
Sporting's at home. You're going to Portugal.
What? We were just in Italy.
Yeah, so what? It's four games at home, four games away. There's no order.
It's so dumb.
No,
it lines up, mate.
It usually is.
It's the same for everybody.
But I don't know.
What?
Good one.
That was really fucking funny, Miles. Well,
what did you say?
Like home away.
You know, they always say that, like, when a team is playing shit, it's like, oh, look, the fixtures are laughing at them because it's like, says the team that's going to
never heard that.
Never heard that, bro.
That's funny.
All right.
Inter Leipzig is a decent one, although Leipzig has been shitting the bed in the Champions League.
No.
Are they last? They're last.
Inter is so boring to fucking watch.
They're not last. They're They're 32nd.
I hate those Prats.
They're 32nd?
32nd with 0 points.
Forza Milan.
0 points in 4 games.
And then Wednesday is Villa versus Juventus. I like that.
Yeah,
you
see? Yeah, the Wednesday games I think are better.
Villa's so good.
You think
win.
They're better?
Villa, Juve.
I think there's two or three in there I'm interested in. Beyond that,
Liverpool, Real Madrid is the game of the week.
Yes, I would say.
And Liverpool will absolutely drub Madrid.
Ooh, that'll be interesting.
With Vinny gone too.
Yeah.
Ooh, oh, Mbappe legacy. Liverpool Madrid was on our list. It was one of the top games.
It was. I rewatched it yesterday for some
Did you really?
Yeah, I don't know why. Just pulled it up.
Good times.
Monaco Benfica is a good one.
Monaco Benfica is good.
It's a great one. Monaco.
I drew this game in my career mode. Oh, I was heartbroken. Dude, bro, I got knocked out in 25th.
See, low key, career mode's so fun when you don't restart.
The only reason I got career mode is because Football Manager is delayed till March.
Yeah.
Fucking
tell me you're not having a little bit of fun with it, though.
Oh, I'm having a lot of fun. It's too much
fun. You would do Footy Manager? Christmas? I think you did.
I did.
So let's get to it.
But I've just gone into the Prem.
Blake?
I just got into the Prem.
If you do an Ipswich save on Football Manager, you will never go back. Never.
That's true.
Go back.
But I just got into the Prem.
Yeah.
What do you know about Michael Burnett? What do you know about Michael Burnett? None of you know because he's AI generated, but he's a player. What do you know about Fabio Giallo? Now let me. Right. Let,
okay, let's.
No.
Should we do FPL?
No. You. Right, please, what do you know about Fabio Giallo?
I know him.
Actually.
Wait. Oh no.
No, you don't.
I don't know.
He plays for Barnsley.
okay.
Oh my God.
FPL roundup.
No, FPL guys, he's good.
Should I
for Barnsley? Yeah. Really tearing up for Barnsley, isn't he?
He has 8 matches, 1 assist, 3 yellow cards.
Get the fuck out of here. All right. Should
I lead
the
FPL?
Go on, please. Ooh,
all right. Please. Back in my spot. No more Mr. Nice Guy. 4th place this week. Nothing out of the ordinary with 50 points. Notable superstars in the team are Bukayo Saka with 13 points.
Hey, Pedro You got above average.
Pedro Porro. I don't know about above average. With
it was above
average.
Miles has the exact same team as me. It's
game week rank of 5 million.
That's average.
Pedro Porro and Saka. The main two guys, 13 and 14 respectively. The rest, fuck all. Trent Alexander-Arnold on the pitch with 0 points. I don't even think he played.
He's hurt.
I couldn't do it.
Someone missed the deadline. Next up, Shia Badiashile with 57 points this week. Big Flecken performance. Us Flecken owners got rewarded this week. Pedro Porro, Bukayo Saka, Nicholas
Jackson,
who I told you to hold, and you did.
You saved me.
You are reaping the rewards.
Yeah.
57 points this week. Only 32 points behind Miles now.
It's 32?
I think it's 32. If my math is correct. My math is definitely off, but I think it's...
No, 30. I think it's 32 because I was 40 behind last week.
So if you guys remember, he was like 100 points behind at some point. He's slowly closing that gap.
It's a repeat of last year.
And soon...
I was never this far behind last year.
Not at this point.
No.
I
was never 100 points. I was like 40 or 50.
Yeah. And it was later in the season.
Yeah.
Like you were down early.
I think I might have been like 150 back, guys. Like it was bad.
What was your worst game week or your worst rank at some point?
Like 8 million?
8 mil. Like the inactives are higher than him. Guys,
I'm telling you, I'm coming back.
Oh. So yeah, 57 points this week, 3rd place of the 6-yard box.
And my captain got nothing. So I just hold there.
I know the right captain, you would have been shooting up.
Oh my God.
Macaroni and cheese in 3rd place this week.
Second place.
Second place. Proud Flecken owner with 9 points. Mo Salah captain 26. Cunha, really, really doing very good lately.
My look at him.
Yeah. I talked to the manager of Macaroni and Cheese. He told me he missed the deadline and he was going to bring in João Pedro. Definitely disappointed with that. João Pedro had all the contracts ready to sign and everything, but it couldn't be done due to a transfer deadline.
I think he has to go.
So
I think Macaroni and Cheese should forfeit his position in the league.
So Calvert-Lewin will be the placeholder in the meantime.
I'm gonna be honest, that's a terrible pick.
I fucking hate Calvert-Lewin.
He's terrible.
Oh my God.
No, like seriously.
Literally, I respect everything you do in FPL except for that.
You're what? Telling me. Listen to these fixtures.
Listening.
Oh my God. Leicester, Crystal Palace, Newcastle, Ipswich, Fulham, Southampton, West Ham, Brentford.
Not one goal.
Zero fucking goals.
Oh my God.
Zero goals.
I kind of owned him too, so I can't.
As
hate.
The starting striker of Everton, disgusting. Anyways, 80 points for Macaroni and Cheese. 2nd place this week, 1st place overall, obviously. Roll of the dice in 1st place, 92 points this week.
Damn right.
A game week rank of 29,703.
Mm-hmm. And Ryan, goal, Pedro Porro for 14, Gabriel with a 6, Mo Salah captain for 26, Nicholas Jackson for 12, mm-hmm. Mateus Cunha 16, total of 92. Still second in the overall rankings.
Yep. But closing the gap.
Closing the gap, won't get there. It's okay. And that's the FPL roundup.
That's good. That was, kind of liked it when you did it.
Fucking roundup. That was spectacular. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think you should take over your role, Blake.
Okay.
I'm sorry. But that, no, that was meant to be joking and lovey, but
just... He did it better than me, so it's okay. Oh, thank you. Cheers, oh, cheers, no. Cheers, cheers, oh, no. Cheers.
And I think that'll wrap up the pod, everybody. Nice. Where are we at? 80 minutes, that's about average.
There's a little bit of time on
the we got some parts
we're recording on both ends.
Probably on 150. Yeah, we're good.
Love that.
Fantastic. That is fantastic. Anyways, lads, another great week of the pod for anybody listening.
I liked this one today a lot, actually. Mm-hmm.
This was good. It was straight football. No veering off topic.
Some good analysis, much. Yeah.
Except the ugly ass boss. There's nothing wrong with veering off topic.
Yeah.
I love when we veer off topic.
Fucking ass bass. Shout out
Austin Matthews, bro. Hope I see you on Wednesday.
You think he'll think you look like him?
Maybe.
Yeah. I see the flow.
So I know, I'm starting mustache. To like feel it on my lip now. And I like hate like, it.
You feel it?
Like, do you know what I mean?
I don't feel it.
Like I like because like, I'm used to it. When I move my like I feel it like moving. I don't know. I don't like it.
Do you feel it, Miles?
What do you mean I fucking like, feel it?
No, guys, I'm a baby face, okay? Like
no?
Austintino Matthews.
Anyway.
It's good.
All right. Again, for anybody listening,
Austin Matthews has Mexican heritage.
Does he?
Yeah. Really?
Well, that's news to me.
He's from Arizona, brother.
I think at least.
Sorry. Yeah, he's Mexican.
Anyway, whatever. Well, he's not Mexican. He's American. But
once again, everybody, go over to Instagram, enter the giveaway, and no matter where you're from, we're going to fulfill that order. again, New Jersey plug for any of your kit needs. If you want to get dripped out like all of us here, then you know where to go.
Anything you want.
Code 6AirBox. And once again, thank you all for listening. And Blake, after another good week. Take us away, my friend.
We out.
See ya.
Oh, damn.